It's funny, last night, being in Pennsylvania. So it's show and tell time.
Yay.
And do people know about this at all? Do you know anything about it? Yeah. This is the one.
Oh, wow.
And built to plug into an iPhone. So you get to try it out tomorrow.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So. Maybe I'm the only one who doesn't know what that
is. Oh, well, when Pasha was here as a visiting monk, he realized how difficult it is for people to hear Project Joy. I'm guessing that's the genesis of this. And so he decided that he wanted to build for the monastery a speaker that would make it easier to listen to Project Joy. And he had no idea how to do that.
Wow.
So he did the research and found the people and all of that who could teach him how to do it, and so he built it with this groovy little handle. It is just beautiful.
Very
beautiful.
Gosh, that is funny.
So. Mm. All right. Well, how's everybody? What's your cat?
I've been continuing to look at Suda's hymn and just getting clearer about how it works, what it is, how it sounds. I've kind of known for a long time. Thought I had a pretty good idea what Suda's hymn was. But it took a pretty painful event really to just bring it to sharp relief. Mm-hmm. And it is the problem. It seems to me that a person can go about their day and be identified. They can be living in story. They can be all kinds of stuff. And the layer that just turns it into a, oh gosh, what would the words be? The layer pseudos in that comes in to offer its dribble and
its guidance.
Mm-hmm. Just turns it all into another layer. It just as the saying is these days, ramps it up.
Rams it up?
Ramps it
ramps up. It up.
It used to be amps.
Yeah, but now it's ramping. I thought it had gone to rimming, and I didn't even know what word that might be connected with.
So it's... I'm trying to think of an analogy.
Well, may I?
Mm-hmm.
Because what occurs to me to ask you is if perhaps it's the positive side of self-hatred.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that is. I think it tries to present itself as wisdom.
Yes. So here on this side, you know, it's just beating you up and calling you names and that sort of thing, and that only goes so far. But if it comes over here, and it's the voice of kindness and helping you stay on track.
Yeah. Yeah, its favorite boy has been something like, it does no good to entertain those horror stories. It does no good to let your imagination run away with you. Just come back to the present and just breathe and you'll be okay. Now, doesn't all that sound good? Doesn't that sound...
Except for the you.
Yeah.
That's the one that could be a little tiny tip-off.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's just you or I. I don't know if it ever gets to the ends of any of those sentences.
Uh-huh. It doesn't.
As I was saying the other day in group, what it's doing is just denying the experience. It's flatlining. Mm-hmm. It's taking something that is something that feels pretty real and pretty present moment and turning it into, words aren't working here, but...
Well, we were talking about it in, actually, just day before yesterday, in the retreat, and also in the email class, where I was encouraging people to note the tendency to, so the voice is blah, 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 and so I just turned my attention to unconditional love. And there's a whole range of experience in there that just is passed right over. So I know the answer, and so just do that. But there's no resolution for anything. There's no cushion on that.
It's right here. I'm just sitting on it and I'm using it for a prop. And
I see. Okay. Back. I just got to. There's no. And there wasn't. So having the right answer, I would say, is a lot like pseudo Zen. So we don't actually have to be present to anything. We don't have to. We don't have to be there. We know what the answer is. But knowing what the answer is not the same as having the experience.
Yeah. And so, the actual practice that I've been doing, and which has just released all of the pent-up emotion, is not resisting any of it. So that's it, can just talk and talk and talk all he wants to. But I'm not worried about any of it. I'm not worried about anything that's going on inside my head and my body. If horror stories want to be told, fine, let's hear them. You know, if emotion wants to just come out, fine. If you want to get irrational, illogical about all things, everything, fine, no problem, let's hear it. Mm-hmm. Well, and just that process of to stop monitoring and editing anything about what's going on. Mm-hmm.
What I hear in that is a commitment to being the observer rather than a participant in the karmic drama.
There are points where it doesn't feel like an observer. It just feels like letting somebody grieve, and
yes, right. Well, letting somebody grieve, and of course letting somebody grieve is probably technically different from being told horror stories.
Right.
Yeah. So, and yet, even with the person who's grieving, to have a sense that that's what's going on and that it's okay. There's no need to try to change that or fix that or do anything about it. In the same way, there's no need to do anything about whatever condition mind wants to do with whatever it wants to do. As you said, no resistance to any of it. Simply allowing everything to be the way it is. And you know, you might not always want to be in that relationship with this kind of event. At a certain point, you might realize, you know, that's really self-hate, just torturing a person. And so not to be available to that, that's not the same as listening to pseudo-Zen talking about flatlining.
Right, yes. Yeah, it's where it's coming from that it would be good for me to keep a little eye on.
Yes. And that's what you're doing. You're keeping an eye on all of it rather than you only get to experience the things that conditioned mind says it's okay for you to experience and the rest of it you need to flatline.
Yeah.
So you get to be in charge of that. You get to be present to and making decisions about that instead of conditioned mind taking over and doing it. Does that feel like what's happening?
Yes. Yes. And I don't... I don't know if I can explain myself very clearly about what the process that I've been going through since seeing what was keeping the grief at bay. I couldn't tell. I knew that all I was hearing was, well, you didn't really care. I know that's a typical one, I think, that people can hear. Or, you'll be better off now for some reason. You know, and then for about 2.5 days, I heard that, and there was just nothing, but it just didn't feel right. And then I saw that level, and so where I've been now for the last several days is just anything goes.
Right.
And.
Because you've never had this experience before. That's the thing that pseudo-Zen is famous for, right? Is telling us how we should be with experiences we've never had. What's the proper spiritual approach to this experience you've never had? It's the same with meditation, right? It's an expert on meditation, even if you or it have never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just struck me when you said being committed to being the observer rather than the one. And that was just what started to come in, was like different ways to support the commitment to being the observer. Mm-hmm. And one of them is gratitude. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I'm really grateful for recently are the, I don't know if you've had any of them, the cherry tomatoes from the garden.
No, I've been in a place where I think organic is not a part of the
zeitgeist.
Welcome home, we could send
thank
you
some. Yes, yeah. Thank you, I would love that.
They're just,
I had fear of food for several days now. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But a second to fear of water.
Fear of water.
Mm. The most fracked state in the Union, huh, in an old building with no water filtering. These nuns, they're fearless. they're fearless. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the other fun thing about that too is I really like tomatoes in general, but these are especially delicious. And it brings me to this place where I'd go visit my grandparents every spring break, and I loved it. And when I was little, I didn't like tomatoes. And each year, my grandma would ask me, do you like tomatoes this year? And it was just like, no, 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 no. And then, like, 13, I came and, like, I like tomatoes. And I just love that. You know, it's like, you can't ever say, well, I'm not a tomato kind of person.
Right, you know? Right, yeah. Well, and you must have kept trying them.
Yeah, it's funny, I was...
No, not yet.
I was pretty well...
No,
well,
not yet.
It was like a fun thing. Like, it wasn't like, don't you like tomatoes?
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like, what about those tomatoes? You know, have you come around to them yet?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's fun. And the other thing I just was looking, I'm super grateful for, is this amazing room. And how there's like hardly any difference between inside and outside. And how you can really see that in the summer when these doors are open.
Mm-hmm.
Like the tile even comes inside, and when the doors open, and like this looks like it could just go right off into another universe right there. And then you're like, oh yeah, this is dirt right here. And this can almost be like ground, you know, the brown is, I don't know, it's just like, it feels like we could almost just be on another plane somewhere else. You know, there's no, you could just feel the non-separation.
You're not eating too many, but to me.
Well, then I was like, well, that was clearly by design. You know, and just I guess I'm assuming that was by design. And just to how everything here is bringing us, is encouraging us into that alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's really...
Mm-hmm. So the no inside outside of the building has the same kind of no inside outside...
Yes.
For the person.
Yeah, and that's just been my experience and practice. It's like, you know, you come in and you come on a retreat, and you just feel good, you feel better, but you don't know how that happened or what happened to you or how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more and more that I'm in practice, it's just like you see another thing and another, and all the wisdom that you would never get right away. No one's gonna come and tell you about it because you won't get it.
Right.
But you just, and then it's like, whoa, the design of this building. You know, that even that is in support of no separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how wonderful that is. And then I just had this other thing I've been watching, which is I've been attracted to sitting on the benches, which I never do. I don't, but I have been. And what I've been noticing about it is I like that hero's pose, that, because it feels like a surrender. And it feels like that's what I've been doing all week, is surrendering, which is another great way to practice being in the observer role.
Uh-huh.
The guidance I got in one-to-one is lose interest in the conversation, which you've also given me many times. And one way to lose interest is just to completely surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that, again, just like we're so well taken care of, I think this all started with some divine intervention, which is... it was like late in my hermitage, I couldn't really see, I was looking for my water bottle, I knocked it over. There's no way I can make this happen again, but apparently it landed in a certain way on the very edge of my phone where it just messed up my screen. So my phone's been completely useless. The alarm goes off every morning, but I can't do anything with it. And what I've seen about that, I mean, the phone has been a journey in terms of being free to be with any content and not be controlled by the voices. And I've often been controlled by the voices around the phone. And what I've noticed this week is, even when I'm successful at doing things like not looking up anything on the internet past hours, it's often not freedom.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can do that, but there's a tension.
You're very clear that it's not what you want to do.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Rather than...
Yeah. Which reminds me so much, I mean, just in one of the experiences about, it's like, it's really not, it's not what you're doing, it's how you're doing it or where it's coming from, mm-hmm. which is another thing I've been looking at in terms of how we care for the land and treat the animals and all that kind of thing. There is no absolute, there is no don't look at the thing after hours and now you're in the clear,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes, yes. This is not about following rules, learning yeah. how to follow the rules
right.
And be the right person.
Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have been on that place where I've let go of it and it does feel completely free. But if I get into a thing of, okay, well, I just won't do this with the phone and then I'll be completely free, that's not how it goes.
Right. yeah. So then sometimes divine intervention
helps
you out.
Yeah. And just seeing how it's really highlighted how much ego is just constantly looking for a distraction, constantly looking to be fed. And even just things that are, quote, okay, like, well, I'm going to check the weather. Well, I probably don't need to check the weather 7 times. In fact, I probably don't have to check the weather at all, you know? And I don't need to keep checking what time it is. And there's probably a way to pay closer attention if I'm getting texts coming in without looking at my phone, looking at my phone, looking at my phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much battery power do I have left? You know, how many steps did I do? You know, it's like... it just feels...
Fortunately, the alarm still works.
Yeah, right. And, yeah, so it's been an inconvenience on one level, and what a gift. You know, one of those things where, hey, do you want your phone to be broken? No. But in this case, well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't trade what you've seen about it
yeah.
for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, can you say a little more about surrender?
Mm-hmm. It feels like not fighting, like not trying to follow the rules, like letting go of that...
That tension.
That tension.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I know I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to look at things after the hours on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
In my heart of hearts, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be free.
Yes, yes, yeah. And you want to be, I'll project, you want to be free of that force.
I want to be free of
that
force.
That controls you.
Yeah, I mean, the phone is just a content thing that it to focus on. Yeah, so the surrender is, and it's not, I don't have to do a good job at not engaging in that force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't...
Because that's all part of the same thing.
It's all part of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So there's something about... I don't know, I can see right now that the surrender is turning attention away from that system and just opening my hands up to life.
Mm-hmm. Being fulfilled by that.
And being completely fulfilled by that. And I love that posture. It reminds me, before practice, or right at the beginning, I was going through one of those societal addictions. And it was rough. And that's what I would do. I mean, I would pray on my knees before, at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. But I just used, wherever I was, if I was at a friend's, and it was rough, I would just go into the bathroom and I would just get on my knees and pray. And it was that same surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And it carried me through.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading Screwtape Letters again,
mm-hmm.
and one of the first points that he makes is, you know, and let them think that when they're praying, the physical posture doesn't matter. Which is an interesting connection with that. Thank you. Let's go this way, we'll come around. Jen?
It just reminds me, that last thing, the physical posture, and then the last conversation about the phone. I had a vacation from my phone recently as well. And what I really saw in it was it gave me the opportunity to recalibrate. Like the instrument actually got to be reset, kind of.
This instrument, not that instrument.
exactly, this instrument. And one of the things, this started well before that happened with the phone, but it really kind of helped allow it to sink in deeper, that I have a commitment to not check email on my phone. I don't use my phone for email. And it's been extraordinary, the far-reaching impacts that that's had for me, well beyond the, quote, reason that I made that commitment. And what it really illustrates for me is the change in behavior and change in consciousness. Because what I didn't realize is, because it would be things like, oh, but you know what, I'm way off here and I just need this one piece of information, so I'm not checking email on my phone. I just need this piece of information.
It could look like that, but that's certainly not what's happening.
And, you know, there's no guideline around, because I'm, you know,
I'm just getting that one piece of information. And there is not a single guideline that says, do not
get this one piece of information on a Tuesday afternoon at... But what?
There will be soon, though.
I know, I was just thinking that. They don't want to close it down for everyone else. That's the thing. But that, it's so funny. We talk about Zen being the negative way, but so it's like the impact really becomes obvious in the unwillingness to go with it. Mm. Right? So then, okay, great. We really need that piece of information. Okay, let's go down to the office and open up the computer and get that piece of information. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's one of those, the phrase that just went through, separates the boys from the men. I don't know what the real phrase is, but, you know, a better one. But that really underlines, do you really need this piece of information?
Well, it underlines, do you really need this piece of information? That's one. Mm-hmm. And what have you got going about what you're doing?
Yes.
Right? So, well, I mean, what are you doing? So, you need this one piece of information. Okay, well, that's what you're doing.
Right.
Is getting the one piece of information. And what we go through is, well, yeah, but I need it to be convenient.
Exactly.
I don't need it to be the whole thing that I'm doing.
Exactly.
And so it goes back to my teacher, you know, it's worth doing. Yes. It's worth doing two hands.
It's exactly the teaching that dropped in with it. Mm-hmm. Exactly so. And that's been one of the things. I would have never put those things together. But that's been one of the things that I've seen, is it really is a support for focus of attention. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if there's the possibility that, then there's always a low-grade conversation happening about it.
Yeah, always striking a deal, always negotiating. Exactly. Everything's negotiable.
Exactly. So one of the things I've really seen with that is I've started to play with, where else is that happening? In other words, where else are those sort of negotiable items that can keep that behind-the-scenes constant conversation happening?
Mm-hmm. And never really here.
Right.
Just one foot in that conditioning world.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I was, you know, very similarly to what was just talked about, just very grateful for that recalibration. And as I say, I've been sort of holding as a koan, looking for where else are places like that I'm not really seeing, because whatever, but there are places where there's the potential to recalibrate in that way.
Yeah, and then to get to the that place where the very thing that there's so such a pull to becomes something that you need the willingness for.
Yes, exactly right.
Don't make me have to look at that.
Yes.
God-forsaken thing again.
That's such a good point, no, Sherry. That is such texts. A good point. Because what we get to, this came up, I think, in the first conversation. I can't remember how, but I was seeing that in the first conversation, that we get to that place of realizing, I never wanted to do that in the first place. I never wanted to. And that we get to actually experience, I think it's what I was talking about on the Project Joy show, that in making those decisions, we create the momentum to see, oh my gosh, that's who I am. I want to be here in the present moment, doing this, having this experience. I'm not the one who's constantly looking for that distraction, mm-hmm. like was just being talked about. That's mm-hmm. ego, because mm-hmm. it serves it so well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure I've said this 10,000 times here, but I can remember the moment that somebody told me about email.
Wow.
That it was this brand new thing that had just, and what you can do with it is, and I remember everything in me just going,
oh,
no, I really don't want to do, no, I don't want to do that. And lo, these many years later, I only feel more that way.
Well, no wonder. Because from that perspective of here, I mean, as you say that, I could just see that perspective of like the avalanche of conditioned mind that is instantaneous. Because I was looking at that same thing. I mean, we are now all trained to have a phone.
Oh, I was just out there. Yeah. You were out there a little while ago, but I was just out there. Oh my God. I mean, there is nothing that is happening that everybody isn't sitting there like this. All at the dinner table,
yes.
at walking through the airport. Yeah. It's like, people, go sit down. You know, these people are just, you know.
With their Fitbit, right? Trying to get their steps in.
Well, no, I mean, they're dragging this thing, you know, and just wandering down. It's like we're trying to get to an airplane.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. Here is so much more pleasant. Yes.
Yeah, I've got one of those that just dropped in too yesterday, or I guess it was, and then we just sort of said, no, okay, this is, we're drawing the line in the sand. This is where, you know, and it is that realization that once we draw that line, we don't want to do this. We get it. That the rush of that energy, you know, or that willing, I guess that's what you were pointing at, the willingness is there to do that.
Well, there's willingness on two sides. There's willingness to say no to whatever ego has previously offered as the thing you desperately want and can't live without. Mm-hmm. And then with these kinds of things, we find the willingness to do what we're required to do,
uh-huh.
which is from such a different place than...
Yes, and then...
Oh, I wonder what's on my phone now!
Yeah. Well, and it's... And the Project Joy... I wanted to talk about the Project Joy quotes of late that seem to just sort of be aiming at a piece of a karmic disposition that I have around the legalism, you know, you shouldn't have picked her up and carried her across the road. And then today is, well, I don't ever drink, you know. Well, you know, and those kinds of, yeah, I follow the rules and I do what I'm supposed to do, or I don't check email here and I do, you know, and that kind of thing. And there's a way that I don't know if this is what I actually talked about, just where I went with it, that I don't want to live in the fear and the conversation that I know so well from the guy who didn't pick the girl up and the guy who doesn't drink, you know, who's just afraid of doing the wrong thing and misses their Buddha nature, misses everything along the road because I just don't want to do the wrong thing, you know?
Yes, and to me, what's being pointed at is the previous one. So the guy who picked up the woman was free of the issue. Mm-hmm. He didn't not pick her up because he shouldn't. He didn't pick her up because he wanted to. He picked her up because he didn't care. She needed to go across the road, and he could put her there. Mm-hmm. Which is very different from, I have a tendency to follow the rules, I'm not going to follow the rules.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's just flipping over to the other side of the duality.
Yeah.
And there's no freedom in that.
Well, and the conversation is just as vile on that side, because then it's all these rationalizations.
That's right.
You know, and
but it's much more popular with ego.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and I don't know about you, but for most people who follow the rules, mm-hmm. it's very selective.
Oh yeah. Well, and you know, just a minute ago, a story from James when he was a little 5-year-old comes to my mind, and it's been such a koan for me. Can I tell you? Mm. So we were camping, and he was walking around going, "Here, squirrel, squirrel, here, squirrel." And I said, "James, what would you do if a squirrel actually came to you?" And he said, "I'd peg it with this rock." And he pulled a rock out from behind his back. And I said, "Oh, honey, if you were to do that and actually hit a squirrel with a rock, it would hurt your heart so badly." And he just stopped and he just considered. And he said, "Well, then I'd never do it again." Mm-hmm. And that story has stuck with me. Like, I just thought, I thought that was freedom to go to one's own experience and say, "Well, if it hurts my heart, I'll never do that again." And know that he wouldn't, you know, in your little 5-year-old innocence. I keep telling that story as, you know, to him, like, and he doesn't get why I love that story, but it's just something about...
Yeah, well, the difficulty with that, to me, I would say the danger point of that is, what if it doesn't hurt your heart? What if you're so lost in conditioning mm-hmm. that it doesn't hurt your heart?
Yeah, I would have never gone there.
Hmm?
I would have never, I couldn't imagine that it wouldn't have hurt the heart.
Well, there are an awful lot of people who do an awful lot of things mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem to hurt their hearts.
Or that they know it anyway, right?
Well, it's kind of the tree falls in the forest if there's nobody there, right? So, you know, if you can do things, you know, there are, generally speaking, there are some things that through time people have realized are not a good thing to do. And so if one has to have one's own experience of that, and it's not a negative experience, mm-hmm. I think we have society. Mm-hmm. So that would be a dangerous one to me. That would be a dangerous one to me.
To be willing to do anything.
To be willing to do anything to see if it hurts your heart.
That wasn't the point And let me see if maybe I'm just, because this is, it felt like the point is that if, that I can trust if I, if it, maybe this is what you're saying, I don't know. I'm, it's the point of freedom that I was drawn to, of not being jerked around by, you know, what the voice in my head tells me. Or, I don't know, in his case, he wasn't even gonna believe what the mother tells him, you know, I don't know. Maybe, but it's, I don't know, it's just the freedom that I think I was...
Well, I think that what I'm responding to is the direction that you started out. So the idea is to do something that you're told is not a good thing to do. And to do that, to see if it hurts your heart, to have your own direct experience. I always suspect with people, not doing the things is a more fruitful avenue. Mm-hmm. In that way of that people will follow rules, but they're very specific rules, generally speaking. And there's a whole lot of fudge area going on. A whole lot of fudge area. Anybody relate to that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so the idea then would be, well, just go ahead and do those things that you're told are not the thing to do, and that will result in some sort of freedom.
Yeah.
I would suggest doing the things that you know are not good things to do would be more, take you closer to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Take you closer to freedom.
Yeah.
So it's, again, I know I've said this a kajillion times. Sorry about that. But the... I was, you know, Tony Bennett. I guess Tony Bennett must be dead. Either that or he's 112.
The singer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was reading an article. He's also a painter. Mm-hmm. And I was reading an article that he about him. And he was comparing singing to painting. And he said, in both cases, yes, you can have your own style. You can be very creative. You can all of that. But he said, you have to know how to do it. You have to first know the way to do it. And then once you know the way to do it, then you're free to improvise and have your own style and be creative and all of that sort of thing. But if you don't have the discipline of first knowing, then you're just all over the map.
I see.
And it's that discipline of...
Yeah. And I see why that evoked the danger thing in the story, yeah. Because it's that discipline that we have to do first and have to do deeply and constantly, really.
Yes.
That even... I mean, let's project on the 2 months again. Even without the discipline, the guy couldn't have even picked her up, and you know, he was a monk. You know.
Well, either way, so one guy could have picked her up because he hadn't touched a woman in a really long time. He thought that would be a really happy thing to do, and so he breaks the rules. Who cares? The other guy can't do it because he can't. He does what he's supposed to do. Is one of them more free than the other?
No.
The only one who's free is the one who just picked her up because she needed to go from there to there. It could have been a sack of rice or a pig. He didn't care. It was just,
yeah.
Boom, the thing to do.
And you have to be out of the conversation.
You have to be out of the conversation. You have to be free in order to be able to do that.
I think I just saw through that story I've been having lingering around for 20 years almost, you know? That I think I just saw through that for the first time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That was, yeah. That what was...
Yeah, because if we have to have our own direct experience of everything to find out if it touches us, you know? I mean, we would all be required to kill somebody. If we want to have our own direct experience and make sure, you know, just see whether that's something we want to pursue or not.
Well, what it does is it opens the door to the rationalization.
Absolutely.
That's what it's...
Yeah, because you wouldn't apply that to killing people, mm-hmm. I'm hoping. Lock your doors tonight.
Only lock from the outside.
Yeah. So you wouldn't do that. But then it filters down to, yeah, but which one would I actually like to
exactly.
do that I... No, I shouldn't.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly.
I'll do that one.
And here's a nice little story about why that's okay.
That's right, because I need to find out if it hurts my heart. But what's motivating me there is not my heart. So hurt my heart might be a long ways away.
Yeah. Wow, I'm so glad that came up. That's very helpful.
Very good. Cameron?
Yeah, I think this is sort of related. It came up when you and June were talking, something that was said reminded me of that I'm rereading the I Don't Want to, I Don't Feel Like It book, and got to the point where was talking about how all of the things that we do, naming everything, labeling everything, is collecting a way of knowing and solidifying and making life static. And life is not static. And so, the way the whole thing was written and all the way it was so...
The person who wrote that was very close to enlightenment.
I'm sure, yes. Because I felt enlightened reading it. So
yeah.
I must have, you know, transferred. And so I could just see how everything in our conditioned culture is organized that way. I mean, everybody needs to know. Mm-hmm. It's really great to be an expert at something and to be asked to talk on somewhere and have some books and you're an expert. And although not these kind of books because they are that's a different kind of book. And so no, I mean.
Yes,
totally.
I know what you mean.
Totally, it is. It's an introduction to unfold all of those beliefs and assumptions that we get.
Rather than
yeah.
convincing you of a group, a new way of approaching beliefs and assumption.
Yeah.
Based on my expertise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things where, I mean, I probably have read that book 3 times already. And that whole section was just received in a new way, and it just lit up that how that's just a basic thing of conditioning is to solidify, define, get it solid, like the rock, the rock, description of the rock in that book, and how I could just look around, you know, and see some habits and some things and. You know, how I'll get into making my bed a certain way, and then that becomes the way to make the bed. Mm-hmm. And recently, I make my bed some different way. And it's...
You rebel!
I know, it just happened. And it was kind of a practical need, you know, to put it a certain way while I was doing something. And... I just liked it, and so now I have a new way, and so I saw him doing something like that.
I'm already trying to figure out how I could make my bed in a new way.
Yeah, well, it was fun, and it helps
yes,
functionality,
absolutely.
Too, the way that it is now.
Oh,
you know, it's a way that is functioning a different way. I still sleep in it at night. But anyway, you know, it's just fun to have those insights. Insights into the way things have been solidified,
yes.
And how you can get into living in this solid formation that's not even real.
Yeah.
And it prevents experiencing the spontaneity and the flow and the freedom of life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so
I'm right there.
Yeah.
So I got to the retreat, and of course it's not my first time there, so you know, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time 24 hours had gone by, I could live there forever.
Uh-huh.
And all my little stuff, I had everything the way, you know, had just exactly as you said.
I do that
yeah.
when I go
I
to
mean,
a
it's
retreat
just,
too.
It, okay, it, there. Whew. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think from now on, I'm just going to open the suitcase. Leave it in the middle of the floor. Put it back in and close it back up at night. Open it up in the morning. Create your world.
You have your own dresser on wheels.
Yeah. But I mean, that's such a conditioned.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just fun to have that. What I've read lots of times just light up in a new way,
mm-hmm.
and light up in me.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
just so fun. It's
yeah.
just it's showing exactly what that is saying about. No, I'm not saying this right. It's actually the experience I was having was a demonstration of what
yes.
that was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's fun, isn't it? Because how that goes together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we open up to something, and then suddenly there it is in our life, and was
yes.
always, I suppose, but now
yeah.
we're aware of it in a different way.
Yeah, we actually get into the experience of it rather than just the words and the meaning, and
mm-hmm.
that's the way of experiencing it from the knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is. Okay. So.
Well, no, I don't know this. I can't, but I think there are enough people in the room who probably do. But that's how the Bible starts out, you know. That's what people were charged with. You name everything, and you have dominion over it.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that the way it's?
Yeah.
I've never been able to read the whole Bible. I've started.
Well, yeah, this is early on. You don't have to. But who was I just? Oh, somebody on the retreat was. I said casually, "Were you raised Christian?" And she said, "I can't." She said something, and then she said, "But then I went to an evangelical group," mm-hmm. and I said, "And you were encouraged to read the Bible?" She said, "From cover to cover every year."
Wow, every year.
I mean, when would you have time to do anything else?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So anyway, but you don't have to get far into it. It is the beginning.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never did get very far into it. And I tried. I tried a lot of times because there's, you know,
there are some more modern versions. That are not quite as hard to get through as the old King James.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want.
I might try it some point.
This really is early on.
I might have the same experience as I did with the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, this gal, we flew back on the same plane, so we were baggage claim, and you know, I'm always throwing in other religions and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and so that's what sparked her. And she said... I never thought about some of those things that you were saying. I mean, I've read those things for years, but I never thought about how they would be the same as Buddhist practice,
mm-hmm.
or you know, how that is stated in Hinduism, or mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. And she said, "So if I find some of these, can I write to you about them?" I said, "Oh yeah, I love that kind of thing. I will attribute." The work to you when I use it, but definitely write to me. All right,
Which way are we going? Camera.
I mean, Sequoia. Just over there, it did that.
Well, this, the conversation tonight has been really timely, of course. And I want to look at something, and I think I need some assistance with this, but it is that about being the right person thing. And, you know, just recently having had a very expansive experience in which I just really, I just had the experience that I didn't need to be the right person in order to be, have my heart's desire.
Mm-hmm. In fact, quite the opposite.
And quite the opposite. And
isn't that wonderful? In order to have your heart's desire, you have to be your heart's desire.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And yeah. How being the right person just completely
messes it up. It yeah. Totally messes it up. Mm-hmm. And recently I've been asking life, well, you know, what now? And what I've been getting back is relax. It's just time to relax. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that feels right on. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, just quit all the striving.
Yes.
Just relax.
Yes.
You're there.
Yes. Well, you're here.
You're here. Yeah. There's just nothing else to do.
Yes.
You know?
Enjoy it.
Enjoy. Relax. Have fun. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So...
And you know, the thing about it is, there's no evidence anywhere that anything else is required, or a better idea, mm-hmm. or the point, mm-hmm. or the purpose, or anything mm-hmm. else. It's all made up.
Yeah.
That you have to do something.
Yeah.
It has to matter.
Yeah.
You have to leave your mark. You have to find your purpose. You have to make a difference.
Yeah. 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 Well, yeah, just a little bit of striving.
Oh, yeah. And there is no evidence anywhere except what people say.
That's
and
true.
You know,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
sketchy.
So I'm hearing a voice a little bit regularly telling me I'm in really dangerous water now.
Oh, uh-huh.
I'm in dangerous territory. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm just going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. If I
keep this relaxation business
if I truly relax,
because you know the only way you stay out of hell is with a lot of tension.
if I truly relax and I'm not the right person, you know, that's going to take me away from
however mm-hmm. you have years of proof that being the right person is actually a hell state.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Striving to be the right person mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. will make a person mm-hmm. miserable mm-hmm. faster than just about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I'm looking at that place though between and I think I know this, but relaxing just and into it just doesn't mean while anything goes, you know, it's that thing.
Well, if I may,
yes.
You're relaxing into life.
Okay.
Not you're not relaxing into conditioned mind.
All right, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where anything goes.
Yeah.
This is akin to what we were just talking about with Rebecca. Uh-huh. Right. That's the
yeah.
relax into that, yeah. and yeah.
Yeah.
But relax into the present.
Yeah.
There's no danger.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because I see that the danger just, I mean, what starts, when the conversation starts to ramp up, and then that gets the attention, that's when the danger.
Yes.
Is.
Yes. And it is true that what you're talking about, what you're doing, mm-hmm. is dangerous for ego.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Because what are you talking about? You're going to relax into the present. You're going to be here. You're going to be available. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be doing anything else. Mm-hmm. So you're here, mm-hmm. and whatever life calls you to, you'll respond. You'll do that. You'll be that. Mm-hmm. Where is the danger?
Yeah. I guess the danger was sliding over into conditioned mind, and like, you know, it doesn't matter. This thing doesn't matter, and that thing doesn't matter, because you know that your freedom isn't based on doing it right.
Well, I don't know if this is helpful to anybody, but you've got to get it that you're good.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
I mean, I think that's been the whole conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're afraid of who you are,
yeah,
and you have to have a voice in your head, mm-hmm. watching you, monitoring, mm-hmm. it's back to what June started us out with, watching you, monitoring, making sure that you this, you that, it left to yourself, I can promise you, you're going to choose goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. That's exactly what I was seeing earlier. That's what's up right now. You know, just that acceptance and really embodying that.
Yes.
That this human and all this the inherent goodness.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be monitored or.
Not at all.
Yeah.
In fact, if you relax into the present, mm-hmm. and let life live you,
mm-hmm. yeah,
goodness is.
Yeah. Okay. I just needed to check in.
Until.
Okay. Thank you for that conversation. So first and most importantly, I wanted to thank the monastery and the monks and the Sangha for letting me be here.
It's a pleasure, anytime.
Thank you very much. Okay. So yeah, the last week I think I was looking at some... So last Thursday here, I talked about how I noticed that cycle of like that's happening here and probably happening in other places too. I'm always really trying hard to get it right or whatever, and in this case since I'm at the monastery trying to get awareness practice or presence, and then it doesn't work, and then I reach or whatever, whoever reaches this point of like giving up, surrendering, and like just like whatever, and that feels really good.
Mm-hmm. And so do you mean when you quit striving like that, then it feels like you reach the clarity that you're striving for?
Yeah, only maybe after not you even give up. That, but then, or maybe that is the clarity that, I mean, it's just, I don't want anything other than what is.
Right.
But I don't get anything either. But so was I okay? So I guess I'm gonna go around the circle. Then I was wondering, well, maybe I don't need to go around in the circle again and again. I could just kind of try practicing. Accepting just all the time without trying to get anything first and then seeing it doesn't work. And that seems to work quite well. Just have to remember it.
That's exactly right.
And then another thing I said that last week, so one thing I was always trying to remember the right practice thing. So I also said I gotta stop trying to do anything. So I'm just going to listen to recordings. So that's the commitment for this. Also, coincidentally, I started the next 30-day guided retreat there from the book. So that's a new commitment to record a listen a certain amount of minutes per day. So I don't have to remember anything. I just be reminded of all those good things.
Yeah. So handy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So handy.
That's very handy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. So that helps the remembering also to accept. Mm-hmm. And also, actually, the commitment was all kind of a practice was just to accept whatever experience I'm having, like that there isn't any other experience I should be having or nothing I should think right now or know right now or do right now or whatever. And then what I saw practicing that, which felt really quite great, was that way I'm actually accepting like everything, because if I'm accepting my experience the whole time and everything that happens around me or wherever,
yes,
I mean, I only have my experience of that. Mm-hmm. So if I'm all right with whatever I feel or whatever I experience, I can be all right with everything that happens, basically.
Yes. Which again is that disidentified place, right? It just, it's all unfolding. It's all coming into being. It's all, there isn't an alternative. This is it. Mm. And if we don't have to become somebody who's in relationship to that, an I that's going to be, you know, if we're not creating that separation, then there's just what's there. To me, if we add the element of everything is our best opportunity to wake up and end suffering, then every experience we have is a gift in pursuit of that awakening. Mm-hmm. And everything that this conditioned mind does in order to try to control or orchestrate or figure out or do it different or try, all of that is interfering. It's nothing but interfering with our movement toward waking up.
Mm. Yeah.
That's very good, huh?
Mm, it's great.
Thank you. Anna?
It's one of those experiences where, you know, when people call into open air and then they're on at the end and they say, well, I don't know.
Everybody said it.
Really, really, that just when you said something like, if it's God is frightened of who we are, and that's it. That's I was just seeing how that has been going on. Mm-hmm. And you have to be watched and monitored. And
yes.
Because what I was looking at was this experience of being the tension that people were talking about earlier, the fear of being pulled into the compulsion. Mm-hmm. To do something that I shouldn't do or don't really want to do, but it is who you really are, and it is what you really want to do. Mm-hmm. And so that place that I realize is already an identification of being frightened of being pulled into the identification, right? Mm-hmm. And that just helped me see the whole kind of setup or orientation of that is frightened of who you, frightened of who you are in quotation marks. Mm-hmm. It's just
and when we're identified with ego, of course we should be frightened of who we are.
Yes.
Right? But that's the very system that says this is who you are and you have to be frightened of that. So here, let me control you and watch you and make sure that So to trust ourselves, in a way it's back to the acceptance. You know, first choose goodness.
Yeah.
That's why the first step always is to get to center.
Yes.
Right? So first we choose presence and goodness, and maybe we have to sit there for a minute.
Yeah.
And it's that's an exciting experience, because of course what doesn't want us there is just going to be kicking and screaming and threatening and going crazy, mm-hmm. which is good to see. Mm-hmm. And so there's good evidence that's not who we are, because mm-hmm. we're watching it do that. We just sit and we breathe and until we realize, oh, okay, goodness. Is there more?
I don't think so. Only that there's just so much, you know, around that, the following the rules, but fudging and negotiating and all of that, where I can just feel as I'm listening the ego writhing and squirming and mm-hmm. and that level of exposure that kind of feels exciting. Mm-hmm. To be in the observer mm-hmm. position too, because
go ahead.
No, just yeah.
Well, it's what I was just looking at as you were saying that is the so I have all this stuff about how I follow the rules,
yeah.
And I'm trying really hard to be the right person, trying to be a good person, and that's what sets up the fudge area.
Yeah.
Right? Because because those things don't really, I mean, they're so small, really, compared to how good I am. Uh-huh. And how many rules I do follow. And so if we weren't caught up in that story,
exactly.
Then all those other things would get pretty obvious pretty quick. And if we could see it without self-hate coming in.
Yes.
That's if we can hang in there with, no, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. Okay, I want to see it. I want to see it all. Doesn't have anything to do with me. I just want to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That focus I was telling you about when we were down at center of making the recording of how do you want to live? Like you're going to die, everyone you love is going to die, how do you want to live? Mm-hmm. And then listening to that through the day and then checking in the evening is really showing me so much about the fudge. And it makes it so clear when there's something that's not in keeping with
mm-hmm. yes.
that.
Yeah. And to affirm that, not from a place of, I should. Okay, what I really want is always yeah. But I should want that. Okay, that's how I want to live.
Yeah.
But to really get how I want to live.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it. That's it. And that level of effort is required, because otherwise the fudging is going to just sludge its way.
That's right. And convince me that that is who I really am. Because mm-hmm. I've lost sight of the fact that I want to be a person of integrity. I want to be honest. I want to be yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair. I want to be so if I you know the guy who doesn't drink and what is he, a Buddha, you know, if it's possible to get that level of investment in hypocrisy, so if I want to, you know, if I want to, what would I want to do? Well, it's kind of a, you know, like, I'm just going to park in the handicap spot for just a few minutes, right? Well, what if a handicapped person comes along and they think, well, I'm only going to be a few minutes. Now, if I just said to myself, well, what's really going on here is I don't care about anybody else, yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. I just want to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, can I do that without self-hatred? Well, if I did it without self-hatred, I would go, oh, I don't want to do that. Yeah. That's not who I want to be. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing has to happen over here in this mm-hmm. other place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can't acknowledge it because that would make me an awful person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have to hide it. Yeah. There I am colluding now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it starts to feel like two ends of a magnet, like it's over here.
Yes.
And you turn to look at it and it has that visceral but and then to just keep going.
Uh-huh.
And keep looking. Mm-hmm. And keep checking in with.
Keep checking in.
Is this in keeping with?
Yeah, and get it that it's not me. What we're investigating is not authenticity.
Yeah. 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 Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.